Lord bless you. Welcome to our podcast this evening. I'm Pastor Dan Lalanne with my wife, Julie, my son, Benji, here. And as always, Nat's over there running things from his spot in the corner. God bless you for being here with us. I'm excited to talk about remnant things. As you know, we are building, proudly, we are building an invisible ark. And as God told Abraham, he said, I want you to go. And the word of God says Abraham went to a place and said he didn't even know where he was going because he was looking for this invisible city that God made. Well, that's how God does things. And he's asked us to build an invisible ark. And I encourage you, go if you haven't already, or if you're not a part of what we're doing here, go watch the last few messages. You'll learn a lot about what this invisible ark is about. And we're excited to be, by faith, building an invisible ark. Today, we are going to be, as always, talking about things to help the remnant. And when we sat down, I immediately, my heart went to a scripture that I have taught before a few different times. But for whatever reason, it was on my heart to revisit it. And as Julie sat down, she came and she said, she immediately turned in her notes to the same scripture. And it might be a little thing, but you know, God works everything together perfectly. So we know this is where God wants us this evening. So, you know, we talk a lot about the highway of holiness and the importance of this, the idea of that God has us on a highway and we are to stay on that highway and that we are to keep moving forward on that highway. And we're not to allow our feet to step off the highway, and that there's all types of things maybe on either side of the highway that can get our attention, but we are to stay on the highway, keep moving forward on this highway of holiness. And we included in that is the idea that the word of God teaches. And again, if you don't get this, then you're not going to understand the word of God. And it's sad, but this is, it has infected the church world today. And it's this: if you don't understand that God teaches separation at all costs in his word, you're not going to understand the word of God. That is the foundational truth in the word of God, is that God requires holiness. Holiness is by its very nature separation, being separate. That is the foundational truth in the word of God. I have ministered, as they'll tell you, on this so many times. And so I don't want to necessarily get into the details of it today. But you need to understand, if you don't understand the point that God desires separation from the very beginning of time, what did he do? The first thing he did with Adam and Eve, he separated them. He put them into a Garden of Eden by themselves. And he said, I'm separating you. God desires holiness. That is first and foremost. And if we're going to be serious about pleasing God, if we're going to be serious about defeating the works of darkness, if we're going to be serious about bringing Jesus back, it's going to start with holiness. It's going to start with separation. It just is. And as I, on Wednesday night, I talked a lot about this, that if we don't understand that Jesus did what he came to do, he did it. He did it. When he was on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. He finished his job. And then what did he do? He went and he sat down. That's what the Bible says. He went and he sat down. And why did he sit down? He sat down so that he could pray for us, intercede for us, mediate for us. He did that, but he's done. He's doing it for us now. And if we don't understand that it's our job now, mm-hmm. It's our job to separate. It's our job to give God that separate remnant. If we don't get that, then how sad is that? And it has been an infection an infection in the church world. It has been so craftily brought by the devil to make the church today think that they're doing God's will, and they could not be further away from what God's will actually is. God wants separation. And when I say God wants separation, that doesn't mean a political party. That doesn't mean a political party. We're talking about the whole world, the whole earth there. God wants a separate remnant in the form of Noah on the ark. He wants a separate remnant in the form of Elijah on the mountain. He wants a separate remnant in the form of John the Baptist in the wilderness. That's the separation that God desires. So that brings us to today. If you've heard me over the last year, you're going to recognize this scripture, but there's some things I want to bring out about it that I feel God wants us to get into today. So, Julie, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I think I said starting verse 14 is where I said to start, but I want you to read this. We're going to talk about it, and then I want to go a little bit further into chapter 7. But let's read chapter 6 first. Go ahead.
Verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God.
Okay, let's stop right there before we get into the next part. To me, and it should be for you as well, for everyone, this is about as crystal clear as something could be. It can't be more clear than what Paul just wrote here to the Corinthians. He was making it, and we're going to go further because it gets even more clear. I didn't, if that's possible. But he was making it clear with them that having fellowship with the world is not okay. It's not okay. And he even went so far as to say, he said, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, we take this as meaning marriage, but it's not just talking about marriage. It's talking about anything, any relationship. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You say, well, how can we minister to them? You see, we have the devil, and this is of the devil. The devil has found a way to turn ministry into relationships. You see, that's what's happened to the church. We think that we can't minister if there's no relationship. That's not the word of God.
Right.
It's not. It's not the word of God. You know, we forget all the scriptures that teach us what real ministry. Go look at the life of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Go look at the life of Jesus. I don't want to get off track, so I got to stop myself, because I want to get back to the scripture. But we have allowed the devil to turn ministry into relationships, and we can't do that. What does the Bible say when Jesus sent out the ministers? He said, go to their house, but if they don't receive the ministry, you're to leave the house, shake the dust off your feet, and go to the next one. He didn't say you're to have a lasting relationship with them. He said you shake the dust off and say, all right, we're done with those. Let's go to the next one. Because there's always somebody else. But it says you cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And we've lost that. You see, we have forgotten the main premise in the Word of God. The main premise is separation. The main premise, which is found in both the Old and New Testaments, and I always say for the people that that matters to, it's found in both. God said, be holy, for I am holy, which is another way of saying, be separate, for I am separate. Right. That's what holiness means in the Word of God. It's separation. Be holy, for I am holy. God is the greatest example of separation in the world that there is possible. He is so holy that no one, the Bible says that he is surrounded by inapproachable or unapproachable light. Unapproachable light, because he is so holy. He is the ultimate in separation. And so you got to understand what this is trying to say to us. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's not of God. And now let me, before I have her read the rest of it, let me make this clear. Because sometimes we read what we want to read. But let me make it clear. When this says that we are to not have these relationships with unbelievers, I need to take it a step further so that we can understand, because the devil will use anything he can to get us. We don't take things far enough, and the devil knows that. We're not only not supposed to have relationships with unbelievers, but we're not supposed to have relationships with people that are,
that call themselves
believers, that live like an unbeliever.
Right, right.
Or have relationships that are unequally yoked with unbelievers. You can't just say I'm going to do what it says myself. No. You have to remove yourself from those people that refuse to do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. That's what being a remnant, that's why the remnant is called the remnant. That's why it's called a remnant, because it's small. You say, Pastor, if I do that, there's not a lot of people left. Exactly.
In other words, there's no loopholes in separation.
Exactly. There's not a lot of people left. That's right. And that's why Jesus said, he said, many are going to come and they're going to ask, they're going to try to come in. He said, but there are few who find it. Exactly.
And you have to get rid of the excuses. It doesn't matter even if you're related to them.
Listen. Listen. It's hard.
Yeah.
The Bible says the narrow way is difficult. It says it's difficult.
It says it for a reason.
And they're going to get up. Whatever church you go to, they're going to get up and they're going to talk about how easy grace is. They're going to talk about how easy things are. Because that's what the devil wants you to hear. He doesn't care about your easy grace. He doesn't care. This is difficult. It's difficult.
It's a struggle.
And there are few who find it. There are few who find it. The Bible never says it's easy. Jesus even went so far as to talking about this very thing. Another scripture I use a lot, and I know that people, when they hear it, they cringe. But what did Jesus say? He said, there's going to be people. He said, there's no one that loses relationships, and he's named all the family relationships. He said, your children,
father, brother,
mother,
he named them.
He named all of them.
Specified.
And he even named your inheritance from them. He said, your land, which was meant your inheritance. that shall not receive a hundredfold in this lifetime and eternal life in the age to come. But you got to be willing to separate. Mm-hmm. It is a requirement in the Word of God. And when people sit there and say, well, I don't feel comfortable talking about there being any requirements. Okay, then you're going to not require yourself all the way to hell. Oh, but you know, I know that I'm good with God in my heart. Yeah, well, that's what Derek Prince, he called those people fake Christians. He said they're fake Christians. A.W. Tozier said they have a fake peace. He said they don't have real peace, they have a fake peace. Everything has to start with separation. And it's amazing because it's the opposite of what virtually every church is teaching today. Almost every church is teaching the opposite in some form. In some form. It might not even sound like the opposite, but if you look at it closely, it's not really about separation. They might even talk about holiness and separation, but if it doesn't start with it, and that's not the main ingredient, and then you build off of that, then it's not the same. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So she read what she just read, but now we get to a part of this scripture that he's actually quoting the Old Testament. It was so important that it is both in the old and the new, and it is a reminder as to the fact that the Old Testament is our example. We cannot say, oh, that was just the law. No, it was not the law. It is the law of God. And the law of God has been the same for it is eternally yes. The same.
Yes, yes.
The law of God does not go away. We're not talking about something, well, it's the law of Moses. No, listen, the law of Moses has been fulfilled. The law of God remains. And so, Julie, go ahead and finish the scripture that is quoting the Old Testament.
In verse 17, actually 16, it says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
You see, this is a promise of God. It is a commandment, and it is a promise. That's the way the Word of God works. God gives a commandment, and then he can fulfill the promise that commandment has attached to it. But this is a promise from God. It is a commandment of God. He said, come out. Come out. Leave. You say, well, I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to wait on God to rectify the situation. No. God says, come out. Leave. Separate yourself. Separate yourself. It's a commandment of God. And then he gives the promise. He says, if you do this, you're going to be my sons and daughters. I'm going to be your God. Come out from amongst them. You cannot, I don't care how many songs you sing about running to your father's arms. I don't care how many songs you sing and you sway back and forth and raise your hands and snot and cry. I don't care. If you don't hear the commandment of God where he says you have to come out, you cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You have to come out. You have to come out. And here's the word. And people, they don't like this word. They don't like this word, but it's the word unclean. You have to remove yourself from what is unclean. Well, I don't like that word. The Bible says don't call what is unclean, you know, don't call something unclean that I've made clean. You don't have any clue what that scripture means. None. The Word of God says you have to remove yourself from what is unclean. Oh no, I'm going to do like Jesus. I'm washed in the blood, and I can't get unclean. And that's the opposite of everything that's the Word of God teaches.
Yes.
The opposite of everything. It's so opposite that if you're not careful, that unclean that you're so proudly diving into in the name of Jesus is going to send you to hell and the people you think you're helping along with them. And you're all going to end up in hell. And you're going to look up and you're going to say, I thought I was ministering. Jesus says as much. He said, they're going to say, Lord, we ministered for you. Lord, we thought we were ministering for you. And Jesus is going to say, I couldn't make it any more clear. He said, I couldn't make it any more clear. My word literally says, if you're an Old Testament reader, New Testament, it says in both, come out. Come out from that which is unclean. I did my best to tell you. I did everything I could to tell you. Now God is sending the prophetic word through this little ministry. Come out. Do whatever you have to do to separate yourself. Do whatever you have to do. You say, but if we do that, then most of our life is gone. Exactly.
Lose your life for his sake.
Jesus literally said, if you don't lose your life, mm-hmm. you won't have eternal life. I jokingly said on Wednesday night a few times when I was ministering, I said, people always say to me, they always say to me, Pastor, why are you so angry all the time? Why are you always so angry? But this is why I'm always angry.
Because the devil has pulled one over.
He has pulled one over. And people, they sit there in the name of Jesus and they do all these things and they don't start with the one thing that matters, which is come out, be clean. And they'll pull up an indiscriminate scripture here or there. And they don't understand all those scriptures they're pulling out have to be based on the foundation of the word, which is be separate.
Right.
Be separate.
That's the order and the structure.
They don't understand that. It's so clear in the Word of God. And in the middle of all this, God says, build me an invisible ark. Build me an ark. In the same way that our heritage had direction from God, and it was an invisible word that they had to follow to be spared from a horrible genocide, God has spoken and said, for the sake of my people today, build an invisible ark. Well, I want you to read one more verse now. And I want you to read the first verse of chapter 7, because this was just a wonderful verse. Go ahead and read it.
It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Okay, one verse, there's so much there. First of all, it's like I said, these are promises of God. They're commandments, but they're also promises. The commandment has a promise attached to it. And then he says this. He says, cleansing ourselves of all filthiness, wait a minute, of the flesh and the spirit. And what people do is they say, again, maybe one of my most unfavorite things that people say, God knows my heart. And what they're really trying to say is, well, I've cleansed my spirit. God knows I've cleansed my spirit, so the rest doesn't really matter. That's really what they're saying. And the Apostle Paul just knocks that out and says, no, you have to cleanse yourself in your spirit, but you also have to separate yourself in the flesh. Mm-hmm. You have to physically separate yourself. That's why he added that. Because there were people then, just like there are people now, that says, well, in my spirit, Christ has separated me. And Paul wanted to make it clear to them That's not everything. You have to separate yourself physically. Cleanse yourself of everything in the flesh and the spirit. Jesus put it this way in one scripture. He said, these you ought to have done without neglecting the other things. Right. Yes, your spirit has to be separate, but you can't neglect also the flesh. Or the other way around, however you want to look at it. He says, separate yourself. And then read the last part of that verse again about holiness.
Perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
You see, that's our job. That's what we're supposed to be doing. It's a process. Haven't I preached that a few times about being a process? Mm-hmm. Do you remember me preaching about being? I mean, I think I've done it like 25, 30 times in the last few months. It's a process. Not saying I'm perfect, but perfecting it. That's your job. You get on the highway of holiness, and then what do you do when you get on the highway of the holiness? You start walking.
Walking.
You start walking. I preached about that Wednesday night. Go back and watch that about what it means to walk. You can have salvation experience, but if you don't begin to walk it and perfect it, then you're in danger of losing it. You have to get on the highway of holiness and start walking it out toward perfection. You have to start moving forward on that highway of holiness. He said, but Pastor, that's so different. That's so different than everything I've ever known and I've ever been taught. I can't help that. I can't help that you've been taught wrong. That's not my fault. That's your fault. That's not my fault. I can't help it that you've understood wrong. This is what the Word of God teaches. And if you want to sit there and you're going to say, well, it's modern times today. Things are different than they were back then. Then you listen, you're going to hell anyway. So I don't even know what to say to you.
God isn't different.
That's the point of all of it. Yeah. God never changes. If that's the way you think, then you're lost. And you're going to hell. And you should be very afraid right now that you're so deceived. Because this is what the Word of God teaches. All throughout, from the beginning of the end to the Word of God, it teaches the same thing, that God is holy, God is separate, and He demands His people be holy and separate. And that is why Hebrews 12, again, for those people that it matters to, another New Testament scripture, it says, without holiness, no man. If you're a man, meaning a person, man or woman, and you're sitting there, raise your hand. No man will see the Lord without holiness. That's what the Word of God says. No man. Christ didn't die to make you holy. He died to make you righteous so that you could be holy, so that you could have a chance to live in holiness. But you still have to do it. You still have to live in holiness. You have to choose it. You still have to say, all right, God, I'm separating myself. And people wonder, well, why hasn't Jesus returned in 2,000 years? That's the reason why. Because no one is teaching that anymore. No one is living that. But God's going to find His remnant. He's going to find His few. And it's perfecting holiness. In the what? In the fear of God. Mm-hmm. Not the love of God. Not the love of God. Well, where does God's love come in? I know there's got to come in somewhere because God is love. He loved you so much.
For God so
that He sent His Son.
The world that He sent.
He sent His Son to die for you. So that you can then be cleansed, made righteous, and so that you can do this. That's how much He loves you. He loves you so much that God, knowing how many people would stomp on that love, would trample on that love, would trample on the blood of Jesus. The Bible talks about people that trample on the blood of Jesus. Even though God knew people would trample on the blood, he says, I'm sending my son anyway because I love these, the humanity that I've created. I love them. And he loved you and gave you a door to go through. Jesus is the door. He gave you a door to go through so that you can be able to do what we just read. But it's up to you. Jesus, he did his part. He's done. He's done. He is finished. He's done. God's waiting on a remnant people that are going to do their part. Well, praise the Lord. I think we've thoroughly tried at least to speak the truth in some way to get someone to understand. If you're a part of the city on the hill, I pray that you understand this evening more than you ever have before. If you're not a part of us, I pray that you hear the word of God and you come be a part of it, because we're building an ark, a invisible ark of faith, an ark of salvation, an ark where you can live this out, because it's hard. It's hard to live it out. We're giving you a place to live it out. That's what we're about, giving you a place to live it out. And we're small, but I'm praying that someone hears this and says, I want to be a part of that. Praise God. Benji, close us out.
All right. You can catch us, as always, during our Sunday morning 11 a.m. services and Wednesday night 7 p.m. services in person at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville, and on our online social platforms, which include Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and our website, cityonahillchurch.net, coachurch.net. Our online functions also include devotions every Monday and Thursday and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101s with me every Tuesday at 8 p.m. online. Calling the Remnant podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. online. Our podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you can get your podcasts. Siri and Alexa can even play the latest Calling the Remnant podcast for you. And as always, come visit us and see what building this ark, being the remnant, is all about firsthand.
Praise God. Praise God. I pray, God, let this go out into hearts and all over the world, Lord, and let them receive your word. Send them, Lord. Send them to the city on a hill. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. God bless you. We'll see you next time.